Well, hello everyone, and greetings in the precious name of my Lord and my Savior, Jesus Christ. Again, this is your radio evangelist, Minor Hawk, coming into your homes, institutions, and automobiles with another Christ-exalting program of the Voice of the Gospel. And I thank God today for the opportunity and privilege I have of telling forth the wonderful story of redeeming love, the story of how Jesus Christ came from heaven, how He was born of the Virgin called Mary, how He lived a sinless life while here upon earth, and yet died on the old rugged cross for our sins. But I also thank God that I can tell you that according to the Scriptures, after He was buried, He rose again the third day, and today He sits at the right hand of the Majesty on high. And I also thank God that I can tell you, too, that Jesus Christ is coming again. Yes, one of these days, perhaps today, the Lord Jesus Christ is going to come to the air to claim from the world His own. And those of us who've been saved and born again through faith in the blood of Christ alone, we're going to be caught up and we're going to be with Him and like Him forevermore. But you who've never been saved or born again, you who are still trusting in your good works or religious rituals to get you into God's heaven, my friend, I want you to know if Jesus Christ came right now, you'd be left behind for divine judgment. So please, friend, please stay tuned to listen to the radio message today and learn how you too can be ready either for the Lord's coming or for death. Yes, death is stalking every one of us. Every tick of the clock, every step we take, every breath we breathe, every beat of our heart is taking us closer and closer to the inevitable article called death. Friend, if you were to die today, where would your soul be? You know, there only are two places. It's either heaven above or hell below. So, friend, with this solemn thought in mind, let us ask God's blessing on the broadcast. Our gracious God and our Father in heaven, we bow our hearts in Thy presence today to thank Thee again for Thy Son. We thank Thee for Thine unspeakable gift. We think of how He Himself could declare that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Father, we thank Thee that those of us who are saved today, we have eternal life, and we are as sure of heaven as though we were already walking the street of gold. But our God, we have loved ones outside of Christ. Perhaps they're listening in today, and we pray Thy blessing upon Thy word. Honor afresh Thy Son, for we ask it in His name. Amen. Now, before getting into the book today, let's listen to a lovely tune, and it's entitled, To God Be the Glory.
Higher and greater will be your life.
friends, while we were listening to that hymn, the thought crossed my mind that perhaps there's someone listening in today who doesn't have the Scriptures in their hand. They don't have the New Testament even. They don't really know what God has to say about their need for Jesus Christ as their own and personal Savior. Now, friend, if that happens to be the case, if you'll write to me and ask me for a New Testament Scripture, I'll be glad to send you the New Testament absolutely free and postpaid. I'll also send you some good basic and fundamental gospel tracts that I'm sure can point you to the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and your Lord. Now, if you'd like to have a New Testament as well as some basic and fundamental gospel literature, I'll be happy to send it to you absolutely free and postpaid if you'll just send me your name and address. Now, there's no cost for this whatsoever. Just like every other program, as I mention usually on the air, there's nothing charged on this program of the Voice of the Gospel. It's just like salvation. It's absolutely free. So if you'll send me your name and address, I'll send you the New Testament Scriptures as well as some other literature free and postpaid. You send your name and address to the Voice of the Gospel. That's the Voice of the Gospel, Post Office Box Number 6, McKeesport, Pennsylvania, 15134. And now let's look at the Scriptures. We'll turn first of all to the first of three verses I'd like to bring to your attention today. The first is found in Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 15. That which hath been is now, and that which is to be hath already been, and God requireth that which is past. God requireth that which is past. Now the second scripture found in the 40th Psalm, Psalm 40 and verse 6. Sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire. Mine ears hast thou opened. Burnt offering and sin offering hast thou not required. Now for our third and final scripture in the Gospel by Luke chapter 12 and verse 20. Luke 12 and verse 20. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? And the Lord will add his blessing to the public reading of his word. Now friends, today, with the help of the Holy Spirit of God, I'd like to direct your attention to two things which God requires of each and every one of us, and one thing which he did not require of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, before analyzing these facts, I believe it is wise to mention again that we're discussing not the words of sinful man, but rather the words of an infallible God of all creation. Yes, as I've said many times before, it makes little difference what you and I say or think. But when it comes to our soul's eternal destiny, there is only one authority, and that's the precious pages of Holy Scripture. In Romans 3 and 4 we read, Let God be true, and every man a liar. So, friend, on the premise that each of you are willing to believe God, let's just analyze very briefly these three scriptures we've read together today. First of all, in the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 15, we read that God requireth that which is past. Yes, God requireth that which is past. Now then you might ask, well, what does this verse have to do with the gospel? How does it affect me anyway? Well, friends, the application of this verse to the gospel is simply this. Millions of people today are seeking to please God by turning over a so-called new leaf, or reformation. In other words, they're trying to merit God's favor by the process of reforming. These people believe that salvation is a gradual metamorphosis whereby a sinful, crawling caterpillar emerges from the Reformation cocoon and presents itself as a beautiful, sinless butterfly. Yes, these people believe that if they acknowledge their sins and decide to do better from now on, then they're just bound to end up in heaven. Listen, friend. Listen. This diabolical reasoning is rooted in the pit of hell, and therefore it is completely without substantiation in the Word of God. Friend, remember this. Reformation is just like trying to soak up your sins with a blotter. The stain will surely appear on the other side, because God requireth that which is past. Yes, God demands a righteous payment for all sin, past, present, and future. Friend, he's not concerned about your feeble attempt to dress yourself up either. Why, reformation in the sight of God is like covering with shingles a house that is infested with termites. It just won't work. No, friend, nothing you can do can possibly please God apart from having faith in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, if we were to turn over to Isaiah 64 and verse 6, we would read what God thinks of your attempts at reformation. There He declares that we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Then I think of that description given in Isaiah 1 and verse 6, where God looks at mankind and sees nothing but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. Yes, that's what God sees when He looks down at man's effort to reform. Friend, remember this. God requireth that which is past. He has decreed in Romans 6 and 23 that the wages of sin is death, and death is the only means of bringing life to the sinner. That's the reason the Lord Jesus Christ declared in John chapter 12 and verse 24, that except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. Yes, and that's the reason He became that corn of wheat. He knew that death was the penalty for sin, so He willingly became the propitiation for our sin when He died on Calvary's cross. And this leads us to our second scripture, which we read together, Psalm 40 and verse 6. There we read prophetically of the Lord Jesus Christ and what He says to God the Father. Sacrifice and offering thou didst not require. Burnt offering and sin offering hast thou not required. Now friends, we read practically the same thing in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 5 concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore, when He cometh into the world, He saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldst not, but a body hast thou prepared for Me. Now, as some of you may know, the only approach unto God before the Lord Jesus Christ was born was made by the high priest who entered once a year into the Holy of Holies in the tabernacle or temple, and that not without blood. And even before the divine plans for the tabernacle were given, the approach was still the same, not without blood. Yes, friends, even when our first parents sinned and their nakedness was brought before them, we read back in Genesis 3 and 21 that God shed the blood of an innocent animal in order to cover their sinful condition. Then over in Genesis chapter 4, we read of that scene when both Cain and Abel brought an offering unto God. And you may recall how Cain, being a farmer, brought the efforts of a God-cursed ground, whereas Abel, being a shepherd, brought the bloodshed offering of a slain lamb. Again, we read in Exodus chapter 12 where God is warning of death at midnight, and He tells His people, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And I think of that all-inclusive statement back in Leviticus 17 and verse 11. There God declares that the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for the soul, for it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. Yes, friends, the sacrifice of blood was an absolute prerequisite to finding pleasure in God's sight. But you know, friends, the day of sacrifice to God has ceased to exist for over 1900 years. Listen, when the Lord Jesus Christ came from heaven, He came with but one purpose in mind, to shed His precious blood. No longer did God require sacrifice and offering, because He had provided the last sacrifice for sin, and that in the person of His own dear Son. And friend, when Jesus Christ cried out at Calvary, it is finished, He had completed the work which God the Father had given Him to do. Yes, He had satisfied every righteous claim against sin, because He bore our sins in His own body on the tree. In 1 Corinthians 5 and verse 7 we read, Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Now friend, as you listen to this broadcast of the gospel today, I don't know who you are, but God does. And He knows that you're hearing the wonderful story of love that was manifested in the death of His Son, Jesus Christ. He knows that His Holy Spirit is seeking to bring before you your need of a Savior. He knows that you're either going to choose Christ in heaven and eternal life, or else you're going to continue on in your sin, trampling underfoot the Son of God. You're going to die without Christ, and you're going down to a lost sinner's hell. Well, friend, I want you to know that because Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins, salvation can be yours today. All a sinner has to do to be assured of eternal life is to first of all acknowledge his lost condition in God's sight. Admit he can't do a thing to save his own soul. Then simply place his trust or faith in that precious blood that cleanseth from all sin. And furthermore, friend, God tells us in Hebrews 9 and 22 that without the shedding of that blood, there can be no remission for sin. Oh, thank God today for his unspeakable gift. Now, friends, if I were to ask you right now, what does God require in order for a sinner to reach heaven? I believe that most of you would answer to the effect that a person must be a good, clean, living church member who tries to do the best they can. You would no doubt say that a person must believe in God and pray and try to keep the Ten Commandments. You might even say that a person has to be baptized, confirmed, or dedicated in order to reach heaven. Listen, friend, if you don't remember anything else I say today, remember this. Not one soul will ever be in heaven because of their so-called good works or church membership or religious ritual or anything else apart from faith in the blood of Jesus Christ. Over in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, God declares, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Again, we read in Titus 3 and 5 that it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. Then I think of that verse in Romans chapter 4 which tells us, "But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him which justifieth the ungodly, his faith," not his works, not his religious ritual, but his faith, "is counted for righteousness." Friend, your religion, your piety, your rituals, your sacrifice and your offering are an abomination in the sight of God. Yes, an abomination. You can't possibly please God apart from having faith in his Son, Jesus Christ. In Hebrews 11 and verse 6, we read that without faith, it is impossible to please God. And where do you get the faith? Why, you get it from reading and believing the Word of God. That's what salvation's all about. In Romans 10 and verse 17, we read that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Now, friend, that faith must be in his person. It must be faith in his position. It must be faith in his precious blood that flowed for your sin. You must believe that God would be perfectly just if he cast you into hell. You must believe that there's nothing you can do to merit or inherit salvation apart from simple faith in Jesus Christ. Yes, you must have faith in Jesus Christ alone if you're ever going to be in God's heaven. Now, along that line, I might mention that so many people today believe that as long as you're sincere about your religion, everything will be all right in the end. Listen, friends, that's another lie from the devil. It isn't a question of sincerity at all. It's a matter of believing God's word. I talked to a man from India recently, and he was most sincere concerning his religious beliefs. But, friend, he was sincerely wrong. He didn't believe in Jesus Christ. He was a follower of some ancient religious leader. No, friend, sincerity will never take you to heaven. God doesn't require sincerity in anything apart from the blood of Jesus Christ. The Apostle Peter declares in Acts 4 and 12 that neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. Again, we read over in John 10 and 9 where God's Son emphatically states, "I am the door," not one of the doors. He says, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved." Sinner friend, don't put your trust in a religion. Don't put your trust in a preacher either. Don't put your trust in a church. Put your trust or faith in Jesus Christ. Oh, yes. And furthermore, don't put your trust in a Christian. They're only human. But rather put your trust in God's Son, the one who loved you unto death, even the death of the cross, the one who suffered, bled, and died, that you and I might live. Yes, friend, all God requires of you is simple faith in his Son as an atonement for sin. So don't put it off, but rather choose Christ today and know the joy of sins forgiven and life eternal. Now then, let's take a quick look at our third scripture text for today. Over in Luke chapter 12 and verse 20, we read of a man whom God had prospered quite a bit. Yes, he was a farmer who had known the good hand of God in blessing because he was a highly prosperous man. In fact, he had been blessed so much that he wasn't satisfied with what he had. If we were to read the entire incident, we would have seen how that he had accumulated so much wealth that he was planning on tearing down his grain-filled barns and silos so that he could build bigger ones. Not only that, but he became so self-sufficient that he began talking to himself. And this is what he says, "Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry." Now, friends, here was a man who no doubt cried like a baby when it refused to rain on his crops. Yet he was the type of an individual, like perhaps many listening in today, who, when he did receive blessing from God, he forgot about God altogether. Yes, he forgot all about the giver of gifts from above. Instead, we find him priding himself in his harvest and making plans for the uncertain future. And what does God say to this man? Well, God starts out by calling him a fool. Because here's what he says, "Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee." My, what an ominous edict to come from the lips of a holy God. "Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee." Listen, friend, what if God should require your soul today? What if he should stop your heart this very minute? Where would your soul be? Well, there's one thing sure. It'll either be in heaven or hell, because there are only two places mentioned in the Bible. But how about you, friend? If God should require your soul right now, would it be absent from the body and present with the Lord? Or would it be absent from the body and suffering in hell? Ah, my friend, it's a most solemn thought. But the trouble with people today is they're not thinking about dying. No, friend, from the sin of the world today, it's quite obvious that the personal philosophy of people is just like the rich man in Luke chapter 12. Eat, drink, and be merry. But listen, sinner friend, God says in Hebrews 9 and verse 27 that it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. Friend, are you prepared to meet God? Well, you may not be prepared to meet God, but I want you to know that God is prepared to meet you. I read in Psalm 9 and verse 7, "The Lord hath prepared his throne for judgment." Yes, God has appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man, meaning Jesus Christ, whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. Now, friends, in closing, let me ask you these solemn questions. Are you sure you're a Christian today? Are you? Have you truly been born again by the Holy Spirit of God from above? Friend, can you look back to a time in your life when you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior and your Lord? Now, I'm not speaking about church membership or baptism. I'm referring to a definite time, place, and manner how you were born into the family of God. Well, friends, I trust that every one of you listening in today will be in heaven someday. But if there is an unconverted sinner listening in, why not surrender your heart and soul to Jesus Christ right now? Not tomorrow, or next week, or next month, but right now. God says in 2 Corinthians 6 and 2, "Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." Friend, tomorrow may be too late. Tomorrow may be too late. I believe that every indication in the world today points to the soon return of God's beloved Son and the termination of God's day of grace. Friend, I read in Proverbs 27 and 1, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." Friend, why not come to Christ today? Why not? Do you realize, friend, as you listen to this radio broadcast, that if you don't accept Jesus Christ as your Savior today, you're calling God a liar? You say, "Oh, I wouldn't do that." But my friend, you are. I read that in 1 John chapter 5, beginning at verse 10. "He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record, that God hath given unto us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life." Friend, are you going to call God a liar? Well, if you don't accept His Son as your Savior, that's exactly what you are doing. You're telling God you don't want His Son. You don't want His salvation. You're going to go on in your own way and hope that everything ends up all right in the end. Friend, don't be a fool. No, don't be a fool. Be wise today. Consider your latter end, and then trust Christ as your Savior and your Lord. Friend, I plead with you, as this voice of the gospel broadcast comes to a close today, to look by faith to Calvary, and there see the Lord Jesus Christ, God's Son, dying in your guilty room and in your stead. Yes, friend, whoever you are, and wherever you may be listening to this broadcast of the gospel, I plead with you, in view of eternity, and in love for your never-dying soul, to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior. And friend, if you do, according to God who cannot lie, you'll be saved for time. And thank God, you'll be saved for all eternity. And remember, my friend, this is for eternity. Yes, this is for eternity. Let us pray. Our gracious God and our Father in heaven, we come into Thy holy presence today to again thank Thee for Thy Son, to thank Thee, our God, for His leaving heaven and coming down to this place called earth to die on the cross for our sin. We thank Thee, our God, that He alone could say that He came to seek and to save that which was lost. He could say, our God, that Thou didst love the world so much that Thou didst send to die for sinners who were perishing in their sin. And Father, we thank Thee that He died there and shed that precious blood which alone cleanseth from all sin. And Father, we believe there's some out in Radio Land today, and the Holy Spirit of God through Thy Word is bringing conviction to their soul. Father, may He also bring conversion. May they pass from spiritual death unto spiritual light even now, for we ask it in the name of Him whom Thou delightest to honor, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, friends, this concludes another Voice of the Gospel broadcast, and as I mentioned at the beginning of the program, if you'd like to have a New Testament scripture, that's the New Testament scriptures, as well as some basic and fundamental gospel literature, I'll be glad to send them to you absolutely free and postpaid. You send your name and address to the Voice of the Gospel, that's the Voice of the Gospel, Post Office Box Number 6, McKeesport, Pennsylvania, and the zip code is 15134. That address, I'll repeat it once more, is the Voice of the Gospel, Post Office Box Number 6, McKeesport, Pennsylvania, zip code 15134. Now, McKeesport is spelled capital M-C, capital K-E-E-S-P-O-R-T. That's Voice of the Gospel, Post Office Box Number 6, McKeesport, Pennsylvania, and the zip code is 15134. And now into our next broadcast, Lord willing, this is your Voice of the Gospel speaker, Minor Hawk, wishing you and yours God's very richest blessing, which is salvation through faith in the precious blood of Jesus Christ.